10 years ago in Australia, a massive survey was conducted by the Diversity Council, by the Workplace Gender Equality Agency, and by KPMG. It was looking into the gender pay gap between Australian men and women. 10 years ago, the results were grim. Since then, a lot of focus has been put on the subject, a lot of time and energy, a lot of people talking about it, a lot of people promising to make changes. And now, with the new study revealed today, have any of those changes had the desired effect? Lisa Anise is the CEO of the Diversity Council Australia. Good morning, Lisa. What did the report find? Are we better than we were 10 years back?
Thank you for having me this morning. Look, the pay gap has fallen in the last 20 years from 20% to about 14%. So that is an improvement, but it is over 20 years. So it's still, you know, it's still not great. We obviously would like to have not a pay gap, but we do have more information around what constitutes the pay gap. So in this report, we've been able to quantify the components of it, because it can feel a little bit esoteric, not really understanding what makes the pay gap up. And what we do know is that the two largest contributors of the pay gap, firstly, care, family and workplace participation, that makes up around 39% of the gap, and another 39% is made up simply of gender discrimination.
We've actually received a text, and I'm sure you've heard a bit of this over the time that you've been doing this analysis, from someone who says, have they finally established a credible pay gap by factoring in hours worked, choice and many other variables the ideologues don't want to measure? Because the only reason a pay gap exists is not measuring certain variables.
Well, I appreciate the question, and yes, you're right, I have heard it before. In this report, we account for all of those things. We actually compare identical weekly hours, and we have taken into consideration all of those factors, and indeed we've been able to break down the components that include things like what happens with occupational industry segregation. We've accounted for part-time employment, we've accounted for age and experience and tenure with the current employer, and I would recommend, if people want to dig into it further, they can download it from our website. But the question of choice I have to push back on, because for most people, there may be some few people in very senior positions who do choose to work in a certain way, but most couples, heterosexual couples with children, are simply trying to service their family debt and get by, and they don't have a choice not to be in the workforce working the way they do. So I really push back on the choice. Most women would choose for there not to be a gender pay gap, and I think most men would choose that as well, because especially if they're in couple situations, it increases the family budget if their partner is being paid at a commensurate rate as well.
We're speaking with Lisa Anise, CEO of Diversity Council Australia, on a massive survey conducted, research conducted by Diversity Council, KPMG and the Workplace Gender Equality Agency into the gender pay gap. The result is the equivalent of $445 million a week, or $23 billion a year, in terms of a gap between men and women and how much they earn. The primary source of this, according to, well, not primary, at least 39% of the gender pay gap, according to your research, is all down to gender discrimination. How do you change that at this point, given 10 years of conversation haven't had the desired effect?
Well, there has been a slight reduction overall, like I said, over 20 years from 20 to 14%. Gender discrimination includes that very unlawful component, which still happens, sadly, when men and women will be paid, even though it's against the law, they'll be paid different amounts of money for doing identical jobs. We even see that at graduate entry level. But a lot of that is a bit more difficult to determine. It's the stuff that happens when both men and women, for example, will go in for a pay rise. In our report, we reviewed, we've done an analysis on the fact that men are more successful in getting pay rises, not because they negotiate any better or they ask for it more, but because they just happen to be more successful. There's no explanation for it other than you're making a decision about someone's potential based on their gender. So that is part of it, but there's lots of other things, unconscious bias plays into it.
Do you think also it's an issue about having to actually convince part of the population that it's an issue to begin with? I think, as we've heard from the text and we hear it often, there is still a fundamental question about the existence of gender pay gap.
Well, if people don't individually see it in their lives, they may question it, but there is so much research. And when I say research, I don't just mean asking people's opinions. I mean proper economic modelling, using ABS data, using HILDA survey data. Every report, whether it's done by us or by other organisations, produces similar results, and it's replicated in every jurisdiction around the world. We have a problem with the way we remunerate women compared to men, and it's systemic and it's structural, and I would love for it not to be the case. And indeed, I don't believe that most people have the intention of it being so, and I'm very proud of many Australian organisations who are really working hard to close the gaps within their own organisations. But it does still happen, and I would really encourage people who doubt the existence of it to look at our methodology that we've used and how we've broken it down, and just how sophisticated an approach we've taken to making a determination about the gender pay gap, why it exists exactly.
Lisa, another question here from one of our listeners. This is from Pat. How do they account for women who take maternity leave over years and miss pay increases?
Okay, well, that is part of it, but it's actually a pretty small part. We've worked out that it accounts for less than 7% of the pay gap, those breaks in length of service. So out of the whole gap, pay gap of 100%, if you consider the pay gaps made of 100% of factors, only 7% can be explained by breaks in length of service. So that's actually not our biggest issue here in closing the gender pay gap.